John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For a few moments this evening, I want us to consider what God wants for Christmas. The human race has for a long time held midwinter festivals. The Europeans long ago celebrated light and birth. The Scandinavians have celebrated Yule in the hope of the return of the sun. The Romans have celebrated Saturnalia, the god of agriculture, and Juvenalia, the children of Rome. And in the 4th century AD, Christians began to celebrate Christmas to counter the immorality of the pagan festivals and to declare that the birth of Christ is the cause for a greater celebration amid a darkness greater than winter. At the heart of Christmas is the history of the gift of Jesus Christ for salvation from sin, the sin of all those who call upon the name of the Lord. But I want us to focus this evening for a few brief moments, not so much upon what we want for Christmas, but upon what God wants for Christmas. I put it to you that God wants three things. First of all, God wants our attention. In a busy world, we have stopped listening to God. What he says to us goes in one ear so often and out the other. And John the Evangelist, whose writings we have just heard read, had a similar problem. He was writing to Jews and to Gentiles so long ago. And in order to grab their attention, he describes Jesus Christ in a very unique way. He calls him the Word. The Word had relevance for Jews. To Jews, the Word would have taken their minds back to the creative activity of God, specifically as found in Psalm 33, by the word of God, the heavens and the earth were made. And for the Greeks or the Gentiles, the word would have had philosophical relevance. For to them, the word or the logos was a rational principle discussed frequently amongst the philosophers of the day. John grabs their attention. But as he moves through these opening 18 verses of John's Gospel, what we call the prologue to the Gospel, he then drops this bombshell. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I ask the question tonight, why was the Word made flesh? He was made flesh as an expression of the fatherly heart of God who reaches out to us as those who by nature have broken loose from him as those who sin against him by thought, word, and deed, day by day, as those who by nature have no interest in him and no desire to give him what is his due. And yet the Word was also made flesh, not only as an expression of the fatherly heart of God, but also as an expression of the gospel, what we call the good news of Jesus Christ. For us to come back to God, the very obstacle which stands between us and our Maker needed to be dealt with. And so God sends forth his Son, who in the person of Jesus Christ, 33 years later, bears in his own body the just penalty for our sin on the cross. And so this evening, I put it to you that what God wants this Christmas from you is your attention. He wants you to desist from moving swiftly and unthinkingly through this festival. He wants you to go apart and to contemplate himself. He wants you to break through the familiarity of these readings, the familiarity of these carols, and to pause and to stop and to consider what it meant for the Word, Jesus Christ, to become flesh. Secondly, God wants this Christmas, our salvation, seen in the light of the cross. The incarnation of the Son of God tells us that God has done everything to forge a relationship with us. All that God requires of us, according to this prologue which we have just heard read, is that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I'm reminded of the words of John. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you have yet to enter into a relationship with God, I put it to you that it means to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What does that mean? It means to acknowledge your state before God. It means to come before God and to acknowledge that you are out of fellowship with God. And it means more than that. It means to acknowledge that you are out of fellowship with God precisely because you have sinned against this God in whom you live and in whom you move and in whom you have your being. It means to rely on Jesus Christ as your Savior, to look away from any good works that you might claim to be your own, to look to Jesus Christ who grew up and who developed in the wisdom of God, who undertook a public ministry, who set his face to go to Jerusalem and to the cross, and who there on the cross absorbed in his own body and in his own soul the anger of God that was set to come down upon those who trust in the Lord Jesus. What it means to receive Jesus Christ tonight is to enter into a relationship with this great, this majestic God, to become, in the words of John the Evangelist, the sons or the children of God. I put it to you tonight that if you are outside of a relationship with God, that it is likely that God wants your salvation more than you do. And yet it is our prayer this Christmas that God would open your eyes to help you see how much you need salvation, how much you need salvation from sin, and that he would put in your heart a desire to be saved. It may seem quaint language, but it is language that determines where you will spend eternity, be it in heaven or be it in hell. Thirdly, God wants this Christmas our worship. This Christmas, God does not want our rituals. He wants our hearts. We are living in days when atheism is becoming a fashion again. We have heard of Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, and yet Richard Dawkins says that he has no problem singing Christmas carols. God does not want Richard Dawkins' Christmas carols. He wants his heart. And God does not want your singing of Christmas carols either. He wants your heart. He wants you to worship him. But you might say to yourself tonight, is not God on one ego trip? Not at all. For God is God, and all he seeks is his due, that we might recognize him for who he is, as our Lord, as our God, as our Creator. And if we receive his Son as our Savior as well, those familiar with the story of Jesus Christ can worship. John the Evangelist says, we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you are accustomed to church but not accustomed to Christ, our prayer this evening is that your eyes would be opened to see beyond the hymns, to see the Christ of whom the hymns speak. And if you are far from the church tonight, I would remind you of the Magi who traveled 1,000 miles in search of this king. And it doesn't matter your background tonight. It doesn't matter how far you are from God. It doesn't matter how far you are from church. God wants from you this Christmas your worship. All you need to worship is a forgiven heart. And God comes to us through Jesus Christ tonight, and he says to us, whoever we might be, whatever position in life we might have, that forgiveness is on offer in and through the person of Jesus Christ. God wants this Christmas your attention. He wants your salvation, and he wants your worship. As we go forth into Christmas, I commend to you prayer. Ask God this Christmas to show you himself. Ask God this Christmas to show you yourself. Ask God this Christmas to show you his Son, Jesus Christ, as you've never seen him before. And it is our prayer, and it is our bold confidence that if you do so in sincerity, you will, in the purposes of God, have a blessed Christmas. Let us pray. Follow these thoughts, we pray, with your blessing, O God. And grant that we might see you in all your holiness and your splendor. Grant that we might see ourselves in our sinfulness and our need. Grant that we might see Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, whom you sent into this world out of love to save by dying on the cross. Turn our eyes then away from ourselves and help us to look to Jesus Christ, the Savior of all who call upon you. In his name we pray. Amen.